of the embassy and the U.S. So I think they should leave the area, not to intervene in the war in Afghanistan, and pull out their forces, and let the Arabs and the countries of the area solve their problem. But it's not going to be easy. It's going to take some time, but eventually they will figure out a way to get... but remember, there was a security agreement between Iraq and the U.S. In 2011. And that agreement, I think, don't oblige the U.S. to defend Iraq, but to sell some low quality of arms.
Sami Rasuli, we have to end it there. I thank you so much for joining us. He joined us from Najaf, Iraq. That does it for our show. Our website, democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the new WHFR Journal. Yes, we're digging deeper into local issues. Today is Friday the 13th. Yay, I love Friday the 13th. Always been lucky for me. Don't believe all that 13 superstition. It means nothing unless it messes up your head. I probably shouldn't have mentioned that. So I'm joined in the studio here today. My name is Jay Koronek, station advisor here at WHFR-FM and co-host of the show, along with John Conroy, our news director here at WHFR. Welcome, John. How are you doing today?
Well, thank you, Jay. The 13th is a good day for me. I'm born on the 13th.
Okay. See, that's wonderful. But not today, literally, not the June the 13th.
Next month.
Okay. Just maybe that'll be on Friday too, and we can say happy birthday then. So we are here on June 13th, 2014. Maybe you're listening to the podcast. That's okay. WHFR.fm is our website, and we do archive the show there for your listening enjoyment at a future time, whatever is convenient for you. And also, if you want to check on something we've said, what did he really say, or what was the date on that, or the time, you can listen to it again. And when you're listening to podcasts, for those that haven't done it before, you know, you can, there's usually, depending on the media player that you use to listen, depending on the computer, you can sort of fast forward. There's a way to jump ahead on the file. If you download it first, rather than just listening to it play from the website, you can download it by clicking on the file and downloading it. Or you could listen to it play. But if you're listening to it play, you can't go forward and back and review something. Just the words of the wise. Okay. Well, a lot of things happening here in Dearborn, as usual. So we got a great action-packed show here with a lot of issues coming up. I'm first going to ask, first I have to comment here. And it's in all the news media have picked it up because yesterday, last night, was the end of the legislative session in Lansing, Michigan for this year. And so our full-time legislature now gets, 3 months off. I think they come back in late August. Something like that. So isn't that fun? How many occupations, and don't say teachers, it's not quite true because of snow days, teachers don't get 3 months off. They barely get 2 months off now in the summer. And of course, they're not paid for those months either, remember. Anyway, our legislature did not pass all the money that's needed to fix our roads. And you'll hear about that. Republicans are blaming Democrats, and Democrats are primarily blaming Republicans, who are in the majority of the Senate and the House in Lansing. And, of course, this is an opinion from Brian Dickerson, who filed it last night on freep.com. That is the Detroit Free Press.com website, freep.com. He is a columnist at the Detroit Free Press, and he filed this at 10 p.m. after it was quite clear what happened. He says, criminally negligent. You could use any of these words to describe the Republican-led Michigan legislature's failure to confront what voters have repeatedly described as the state's most urgent crisis, and no one who drives would accuse you of exaggeration. Every day, the legislature's abject neglect of Michigan roads is costing motorists money. Increasingly, traffic safety engineers agree the unchecked deterioration of highways and bridges is also jeopardizing our safety. Some untold number of drivers will undoubtedly lose their lives this year because our elected representatives in Lansing could not get it together to fix what is so clearly broken. Who at this point can argue that our state would be worse off if the men and women of the 97th Michigan legislature went home for their unearned summer recess and never came back? And I should mention that Stephen Henderson, who is the editorial, who was the editor of the Detroit Free Press, that 2 days ago, before we knew the outcome of this, he said, if they don't pass this, we shouldn't vote for any of them. Okay, don't vote. It doesn't, Democrat or Republican, don't vote for any of them in September. If they can't get this done, if they can't stay there a couple more days. They had some compromises. They had some ways to fund the extra money. But certain people don't want to pay anything extra or make anybody pay anything extra, even if it'll save money in the long run, like all those busted axles. You know, they say, oh, well, if you raise the sales tax on gasoline in Michigan, that will help pay for fixing the roads and the bridges, sort of a user tax. Okay, if you drive more, you need more gas, so you pay more tax. So it's sort of a user tax. Now, certainly they should do something, and there's been editorial comments in even our weekly Dearborn Press and Guide. Craig Ferran has an editorial in the last week, I know, saying we've got to do something about the trucks. Heavier trucks can drive on Michigan roads by paying just a small little overweight permit fee. Other states really charge them if they've got a heavy-duty truck, which will damage our roads more more quickly. And so that needed to be done. I don't think the our legislature had had that as part of any of their compromises. But they say, some people say, the poor people can't afford to pay any more money, like more money for gasoline. Yeah, but the poor people's cars, their axles and tires break from the potholes too. How are they going to pay for that? Yeah. You know, I mean, seriously, they're the least able people. Because I'm sorry to say, if you're poor, you probably don't have a brand new car. You don't have a warranty. Some tires have warranties, you know, if you're brand new tires and, right. and you hit a pothole, well, maybe they'll replace it for free. But the point is that if you're got a big time job, you're not in the poverty level, you're not in the lower income groups, then you can more easily pay for those damages. You don't want to. Do you? I don't want to. I know my local street in my neighborhood in East Dearborn is so full of potholes, I literally have to drive at about 10 miles an hour through the pothole stretches.
Sure.
I mean, it's just, and it's a really nice, basically a nice neighborhood with fairly expensive homes, historic district even, and the roads look like, well, like they're historic too, like they're from the turn of the last century, you know, that means 1900, I'm talking about. I mean, it is absolutely terrible. I was listening today to the Craig Folly Show, as I always do every day on WDET. They were commenting, of course, on this story, and they claimed that Greenfield was the worst road in repair in Detroit. So just north of Dearborn, north and south, the Greenfield, one of the worst roads for potholes in Detroit. And it's fairly wide when you get into Detroit, so a lot of people drive that. So here's what Brian Dickerson goes on to say, okay? He said it would be foolish to condemn the lawmakers who failed to find a common ground on a way to pay for the repair and upkeep of Michigan roads without acknowledging that they are responding rationally, if not courageously, to the incentives our state's dysfunctional political system provides, okay? So it's a political system he's blaming here. He said, although most Michigan voters clearly want better roads and are willing to pay for them, no single state senator or representative represents all those voters. And the majority of lawmakers answer almost exclusively to the voters of one party. Why? Because of gerrymandering. Because Republicans in 2010, after 2010, were in the majority in our legislature and they redrew the lines of the districts for representatives and senators in Michigan, those representatives and senators going to Lansing, going to our state government. And so they don't really care. They're pretty well set. They got a majority Republican voters in their district. The people that do vote are Republican. These were delineated, and these districts were designed by computer analysis. It's not seat of your pants. Well, I think that other city over there is mostly Republican, and we should include them. No, it's all designed by computers in the craziest ways, and we won't have a chance to change things until 2020. And it won't change, except for the better of the Republicans, unless another party is in office. But then, do you really want the Democrats to re-gerrymander it scientifically so that they get the majority almost all the time? No. There should be an independent commission. This is the opinion of Jay Kornick. Remember, all opinions on this show are not necessarily those of anyone here at Henry Ford Community College. But the head of the law school at Wayne State University, and her name escapes me now, but she was a guest on this show, so thank you very much.
Can't think of her name either.
Jacqueline Benson. No, Jocelyn Benson.
Jocelyn.
There we go. Jocelyn Benson. Hi, Jocelyn. I'm sure you're not listening. But she has proposed an independent commission. Imagine, independent commission that would do it not in favor of any party, but joining together groups of people based on where they live and therefore the similarity of their interests and concerns. The city of Dearborn. We've been lucky to pretty much have our representative, George Durrani, right now, Democrat, to Lansing. He represents pretty much just Dearborn, okay? That's not true for most representatives because of gerrymandering. For some reason, Dearborn didn't get busted up. Now, we have for U.S. Congress, the federal government, yeah, we got split up in Senate and representative districts. John Dingell is not the representative for all of Dearborn, okay, in Washington, D.C. So, he gives Brian Dickerson here of the Free Press is the opinion I'm presenting to you, his commentary. There's some really egregious errors from this. And, of course, Republicans have said, and if you're a Republican listening, just because you love listening to opinions other than Republican opinions on this show, Republicans have said, look, we did add another $200 million to the $200-some-odd million we gave a couple months ago. Of course, Governor Snyder, Republican, said we need $1.2 billion, not just this year, but every year for the next 10 years to break even, to catch up with all the decaying and busted roads and bridges. That's right. It's not just $1.2 billion needed this year, but for every year for the next 10 years. And then it could be minor maintenance because the cost can come down once everything is renewed and rebuilt from the ground up practically, because you can't just put asphalt cover on top of concrete that's all broken to bits.
No,
that's not going to last. It won't even last a couple months, you know, with the way temperature changes around in Michigan. So any suggestion that I have is that independent commission that Jocelyn Benson and others have suggested for redrawing districts in 2020, we should live that long, and I hope we do, but is that the answer? Yes, it is. But Democrats and Republicans won't vote for it because each of them will feel they will lose some advantage somewhere. Ooh, too bad, I say. That's not the way it should be done. Again, because computers are designing these districts in the craziest of ways, scientifically though, to give the advantage to one party to the other, we can't have parties doing this. It's got to be based on combining common interests in local areas, like all the people who live around one of our small lakes, inland lakes in Michigan. They should be in the same district, have a representative that represents not only those lake dwellers, near lake dwellers, but also champions that lake to be clean and not polluted and fishing rights. And there's got to be somebody talking for these different areas that have different concerns. And they're all contiguous concerns. They should be in these new districts. My answer, and just my opinion, you got to consider alternative parties, folks. You've got to consider not voting for Democrats or Republicans. Talk about radical suggestion. Because if a new so-called third party, and the next two biggest parties to Democrats and Republicans are the Green Party of the United States and the Libertarian Party, okay? both of them, if they got in office, you say, well, they'll just start gerrymandering to favor themselves. I don't think so. If they're brand new, they only will get elected if they say, we were going to do for the first time what's right for the people of the state, what the people want. And the first priority, these are scientific polls that were done in the last couple of months. The first priority from voters out there in throughout Michigan, we want the roads fixed. Of course, there's different opinions about how to pay for it, but they want the roads fixed. Okay. And I think we could actually get some things done. A new coalition would form if we had a third party that had, especially if it had majority control, but even if it got like one third, so that nobody had an automatic majority. You'd have to have coalitions between Democrats and the Green Party, or the Republicans and the Green Party. Imagine Republicans in favor of the environment. Imagine that. Or the Libertarian Party, which is not the same thing as the Tea Party, folks. A lot of things they differ on, and I think you ought to investigate all your choices for political office. Now, third parties will not be in the Michigan primary, the state primary on August 5th. Why? Because Democrats and Republicans won't let them be in there because it might give them some publicity for their candidates that would be on the ballot in November. But there will be candidates from the Green Party of the U.S. and the Libertarian Party in Michigan on the November ballot. I guarantee you that. It's time to consider people that speak for the people. And I'm not saying automatically it's going to be someone in the other party, but right now, we have gridlock in the U.S. Congress. We have gridlock in the state of Michigan. Now, I think that the Republicans will do something in August or September before November. They can't have this bad a reputation going into November, because most of the Republicans, even though they're sort of protected, you know, by their districts where people vote Republican, no matter what that means. I mean, that's true with most people. You'll vote for a party or a person without even knowing what they stand for just because you've done it before. Shame on you. But nonetheless, you know, shame on you twice if you did it twice without checking on them. But I'm just saying there are other choices. And it's not just elections. We've got to put the pressure on elected officials, letters, emails, websites, lobbyist groups. I'm a big member of the Sierra Club of Michigan, because I believe we should have priority one, clean water, clean air, and clean energy. And they're the only group that makes that their number one cause. And so, well, I'm all for the Sierra Club of Michigan and other groups. So if you're listening to this show, you are concerned about the news in Dearborn, the local area, but the state of our state is pretty bad here. And the only way we can turn things around is to get involved and, as Jim Hightower would say, agitate, you know, stir things up, making waves. Where have we heard that before, John? That's our station. That's our slogan here, making waves at WHFR, WHFR.fm, making waves. This is the new WHFR Journal for Friday, June 13th. Okay, John. John, being the public-spirited citizen who lives in Wayne County, went to the special forum that was open to all voters of Wayne County last night here at Henry Ford College, sponsored by three of the local chapters of the League of Women Voters. And they had a big gathering of all the candidates who wished to show up. And I think there's 14 on the ballot for chief executive of Wayne County. Bob Ficano is currently in that office. He's running again, of course. So tell us about the highlights of that event. It went on for about an hour and a half. It was scheduled for an hour and a half.
Right. It was scheduled from 7 to 8:30, and it pretty much started on time. And a little reminder before I even get into the specifics is that in order to vote in the primary on August 5th, you have to be registered by July 7th. Let your voice be heard. Definitely register to vote and vote your conscience. The candidate forum, there were nine, I believe there are 10 total candidates running that I could tell for Wayne County Executive. Nine were there, and Mr. Kavanaugh was busy in Lansing with the legislature. But the candidates were there. All candidates had a chance to answer questions. There were five questions put to them. Each one had like 2 minutes to respond, and there were timers sitting there holding flags up, 30 seconds to go, and then the next one would say stop. And each was given – oh, then there was a lightning round also where there were yes or no answer questions to be answered by all the candidates. And then each was given a closing statement at the very end. I say kudos to the League of Women Voters for doing what they did. And Henry Ford College looked great, the auditorium. And President Jensen was there as well. What else did I want to say?
Mention, and again, without endorsing any of the candidates, who are some of the bright lights that spoke out of this field of 10? Again, you're not necessarily going to vote for any of them, maybe, but, you know, in-person appearance, there's a certain charisma element.
Yes.
And sometimes you can have too much charisma, but just, you know, so not necessarily negative, but who were some of the bright candidates?
Well, some of the candidates, Warren Evans had some very polished answers. Kevin McNamara sounded like he knew what he was speaking about. William Wilde was very good, and being the mayor of a city seemed to be well prepared.
I think it was Westland.
Westland, that's correct. John Dalton, who was a relative newcomer, seemed to be well prepared. Betty Cook Scott had a very different background for someone running.
Was she the only woman there?
She was the only woman, and she'd been a police officer, a legislator, and a teacher at one time. So she's had quite a varied background. Mr. Bolden also had been attached to Detroit politics for a number of years, but hadn't spoken before. I don't think he's run. Mr. LaVisca also was a fairly new candidate. And, of course, Bob Picano, the current office holder. They allowed the questions were written by the folks in the crowd and handed to the League of Women Voters. And I think there were probably a lot more questions that could have been answered had there been more time. You know.
What was the attendance like, John?
The attendance, I would say there were over 100 people there in the auditorium. It looked like a very well attended get together. You know.
Okay. So, I know the room holds, it was in the Forfa Auditorium in our Mazara
right.
Conference Center, and I think it holds 400 maximum or 450. So was it like half full? Or
I'd say it was half full. Yes.
Well, it's not too bad an event like this, and congratulations to those that made it out there. I don't know, did you see any video cameras recording anything?
Yes, Channel 7 was there recording.
Well, that was a news event.
News event, right.
Yeah, I'm thinking that maybe... somebody from CDTV in Dearborn might have recorded all of it, or Dearborn Heights. They have a cable TV operation. So did you see anybody not from a station that seemed to be recording the whole event?
I didn't notice it off the top of my head, but there could have been some people with voice recorders and that type of thing.
You can go to, of course, any of the League of Women Voters websites. League of Women Voters Dearborn, Dearborn Heights is just those letters, okay? League, that's LW, Women, Voters, V. But I think the site that connects there is that easy one, vote411.org.
And right. These were handed out by all the League of Women Voters people, and it was vote411.org. And this gives you election information that you need, including what's on the ballot, who are the candidates, and it's nonpartisan, and it's information that can be used by all.
Okay. I just have a comment, and it's always a question of strategy here. I mean, with these 10 people on the ballot, you know that the whole idea is to get the top, the plurality of votes, the two people that get the most votes, not a majority, but the two people that get the most votes will go on to compete for the November election for the job of CEO, chief executive of Wayne County. All right, so strategy here, folks. There's got to be some strategy. First of all, Bob Ficano's the incumbent. He's got a political machine out there, whether you like it or not. He's got a lot of people that will get the vote out for him, believe me. So if you want a change or you want a really good candidate to go up against him, when you go in there, And I think you get two votes on the ballot out of the 10, because you're just looking for two people to compete in November. So I'm pretty sure on the ballot they'll say choose no more than two. Well, that means you could just pick one if you wanted to. You said, well, I'm throwing away a vote. Yeah, but definitely, I mean, these are the odds here, folks. If you want the second best candidate to go up against Fecano, the odds are Fecano is going to get the plurality, because if 10 people are splitting the votes, he's got a known name, okay? And because he's been in office so long, a lot of people know of him, and some people like him. Okay, so he's going to probably get in the top two no matter what you do as an individual. But yes, he wants you to vote for him if you think he's done a good job. Yes, I'm not saying that. But if you want the best number two candidate to go against him, then you should only have one vote and not for Fecano. You should vote for the best person. But there's so many choices that unless you can see this video, you know, well, it's going to be tough.
Yes.
I hope a lot of them will come to Dearborn Homecoming, but they can't wander around. They're going to be stuck in a little corral with the other people that want to make speeches. But I'm hoping that there'll be some event sponsored by maybe the League of Women Voters at Dearborn Homecoming, so people can go into one of the big pavilions and sit down and listen to these people talk for a couple of hours, maybe individually, about who they are and what they stand for. But that hasn't happened that way before, so probably won't happen that way again.
Well, another civics lesson to remember for the primary is that in order to vote for all the candidates, because they're all Democrats running against, you know, to unseat Mr. Fecano.
Well, right, it's a Democratic primary.
So that you have to vote, yes. Even if no matter what party you are affiliated with, you right. have to vote Democratic in order to get
a better Democrat to go again. Oh, wait a minute then. Then where it's not, I'm wrong then. It's not the top two.
No, it's
the
not.
Top one.
It's top one.
Yep. Okay.
But you have to vote Democratic in right. order to get into
well,
the
Well, okay. So the you'll have only one vote out of all of those. That's and correct. Fecano's probably going to get it. as I said, if you have problems with Fecano being elected again, you absolutely must vote for one of the other nine or so. Mm-hmm. But what are the odds that, because there's so many, it's just statistically and rationally almost impossible for Fecano not to get the plurality.
Because okay. it may weaken the candidacy yeah. of the other.
He might get it by votes. Simply getting 11% of the votes out of the 10 candidates. He gets just a little bit more because he's got the known name. And none of the other candidates can get a single large number of votes because they're just spread out. Some people will like McNamara. Some people will like Kavanaugh yep. because of name recognition.
Sure.
In Westland, they might vote for their mayor, but that won't be enough votes to undo Fecano's incumbency. We'll see. But
sure I don't know until you try.
Okay.
You know,
I've got it. Often I correct myself during the same show, and that's why you need to listen to the whole show, folks. What I say earlier, I might take that back and restate it later correctly. All right. So,
well, I have one more little tidbit here from Warren Evans, and I believe, and others may have said it as well, but they all wanted to talk about Wayne County being a conduit for connectivity, job training, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Instead of just one stopping ground, this would be a process to get Wayne County more in the swing of these programs that come from other counties as well. You know.
Okay. We're going to take a little break here, John and I anyway, but you're going to listen closely to this commentary. I think we're going to pair Jim Hightower in a comment about when no news is bad news, and also a comment from Jack Lessenberry from Michigan Radio, which a couple days old, but the whole premises. Thank God the Michigan legislature is spending time passing laws about beavers. All right. So we'll be back live here with more local Dearborn news and information after Jim Hightower first and then Jack Lessenberry's commentaries.
If a tree falls in the woods and NBC, ABC, and CBS aren't there to cover the crash, does it make a sound? Not necessarily. For example, consider some very big news from the Federal Communications Commission, which recently proposed to let a handful of monopolistic internet service providers do away with a core democratic principle of net neutrality, the idea that everyone, big or small, has an equal opportunity to put their material on the internet. Axing this egalitarian principle has long been the goal of Comcast, Time Warner Cable, and the few other ISPs that control the wires bringing high-speed internet service into our homes. A two-lane system would let them collect big bucks from corporations wanting to rush their materials onto our screens ahead of everyone else, relegating us to the slow-lane traffic jam. The FCC's giveaway of our democratic internet to plutocratic profiteers was a front-page story everywhere. Well, everywhere except on NBC, ABC, and CBS. Curiously, the Big Three made no mention on their nightly news shows of this momentous and outrageous power play. Why were they silent? Follow the money. NBC is owned by Comcast, which would reap a fortune by selling Fastlane access, so the conglomerate doesn't want its news arm notifying the public and stirring up opposition to the FCC action. ABC is owned by Disney, which is eager to purchase preferential passage for all of its many internet offerings. Likewise, CBS owns Showtime and multiple sports networks that want to push their internet programming ahead of smaller competitors. This is Jim Hightower saying, but not even covering the attempt to destroy net neutrality, these conglomerates reveal what we can expect to get as news if they are allowed to control internet content. To help stop them, go to www.freepress.net.
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
It is not exactly true that the Michigan legislature can't get anything done. For example, our lawmakers did pass a bill to allow a fur dealer to hold a license to trap beaver. Don't you feel better about that? The governor signed it yesterday. On the downside, they completely failed to get done the voters' most important priority, fixing our terrible roads. You see, fixing the roads would cost money. It would also require making hard choices, which many elected officials seem allergic to, especially in an election year. Some of our lawmakers seem dead set against raising any taxes, even though polls have shown this is the one thing voters are willing to pay for. Some can't see past their narrow ideological blinders enough to simply get the job done. Some seem more interested in making the other side look bad, and some may have sold out to special interests. Take State Senator Tom Casperson, for example, a Republican from the Upper Peninsula. He happens to be the proud author of the beaver trapping bill. However, what he was willing to do for the fur traders, he wasn't willing to do for Michigan roads. Casperson helped kill a bill that would have increased registration fees on those huge overweight trucks that have been doing the most damage. As Senator Morris Hood of Detroit said, "Our constituents are tired of big trucks tearing up their roads. Addressing this has to be part of the equation." But to that, Casperson made the astonishingly irrelevant comment, "I don't know anyone out there trying to destroy anything," adding, "We're not going to fix this by singling out one single industry." I wonder if he feels that way about illegal drug cartels. You do have to give some credit to Senate Majority Leader Randy Richardville, who does seem to have discovered that there's such a thing as the public good. He proposed a road funding plan which, while not perfect, would have come up with most of the money the roads desperately need, mainly by increasing the tax on gasoline. However, common sense is extremely uncommon in his caucus, and some Democrats don't seem to have a lot either. In the end, after vote, they accomplished nothing. And the night ended in the wee hours with Senate Minority Leader Gretchen Whitmer ranting away at the governor. Now, the lawmakers could still accomplish something today. Sometimes, as I was reminded by a blog post this week, everybody thinks a bill is dead, and then the corpse winks. By the way, this is apparently the last day our lawmakers could get this done because they need to go on vacation and campaign for the re-election so many don't deserve. If I was hopelessly naive, I might suggest they stay on the job until they get the people's business, what they're being paid to do, done. But that would be so unsophisticated. By the way, if you don't like the way this all works, I have worse news for you. They've called off the petition drive to move to a part-time legislature. for the foreseeable future are allegedly full-time, frequently dysfunctional. Legislature is here to stay.
Well, that was the opinion of Jack Lessenberry, and before that, Jim Hightower, and I think well-spoken and important and significant. Of course, Lessenberry sort of responding in advance about the incompetency of our legislature. All right. We're moving on at the new WHFR Journal for June 13th, and a lot of events and things happening. Just 2 weeks left for the Henry Ford College 5101 Restaurant International Buffets. And we go to John Conroy, who, second week in a row, he went there and chowed down yesterday at the Spanish one. How was that Spanish food?
Well, it was very fine. It's been actually, I've been there all 3 weeks for the each of the buffets, and they've been they've been absolutely great. You don't need to eat dinner for sure that night. And Valencia is the hostess at the desk when you walk in. We actually met her daughter and her mother.
Oh my gosh!
At the place last
time. Sounds kind of nice. Spanish name too. but she's going to be there next time. What's up next week?
Next week is Old World Cuisine, Scandinavia, Central and Eastern Europe.
Oh, okay.
Russia, that's... Poland, all those good countries will be well represented, I'm sure.
Anything from the Czech Republic?
I
don't know.
I'm not sure.
My relatives are from there.
But, okay. Yeah.
Anyway, okay. Well,
5101 restaurant. You can't beat it. That's
And of course, what times? It's on Thursday. What time?
Yeah, this next week will be 11 to 1. Mm-hmm. And the last one will be a special one. It'll start at 10:30 because they'll be serving brunch as well.
Oh, so you get breakfast, and then you can immediately go to the luncheon. Brunchen buffet.
You can be part of all that, yes.
Wow, that's interesting. And so for reservations, which are not necessarily needed, but I would recommend them.
I definitely recommend them. And you call 313-206-5101 or go to the website, which is Henry Ford, www.henryfordculinary.com. And it's only $14 a person, and it's well worth it, double that. So heartily endorse this.
You have come with friends in the last 2 weeks, I know. I didn't see you 3 weeks ago at them, but it's a great way to grab a friend or a family member and do a little special treat if they have the time on Thursday, midday, you know.
Right.
And it's kind of classy and nice. And that phone number, again, is 313-206. And then because it's in our 5101 restaurant in the student center, they actually, those are the final four numbers of the phone number, 5101. So 313-206-5101 for reservations for the international buffets here. Thank you, John.
You're very welcome.
Yep. Bon appetit.
Yes.
in the future. Okay. There's a lot of events, cultural things, free music and concerts in the area. So I'm going to go down a list here and see how fast I can include it, things. In the Dearborn Press and Guide from last Sunday, I saw a big ad, a story about, and it's strange, it was on page 1E. And I must have thrown away all the sections in between, but luckily I still have section E. It's all about the music and art in the gardens in Taylor. There's a Taylor Conservatory and Botanical Gardens. I've never been there. Botanical Gardens and a conservatory. Conservatory usually in my head is where they play music, mm-hmm. or they study music. And they're going to be there on Wednesday nights, and it did already start this week, Wednesday, June 11th. And so the stories are in the papers this week. It's called, again, In Taylor. It is Music and Art in the Gardens. Trying to see if I recognize. Well, one of the dates. I mean, they're all great local jazz musicians, and the one I recognize is keyboard player Chris Kodish, July 30th, that Wednesday, July 30th, that he's going to be at this Taylor Conservatory and Botanical Gardens on that Wednesday night. He has written many songs and performed with many blues groups in Detroit, as well as jazz groups, too. So he's great. He's very talented in terms of songwriting, and I'm sure if that's just a solo, he may bring some other people with him. That's going to be great. Now, you've been there, right, John?
I have. It's
he really gets around, folks.
It's a very nice event. There are light refreshments available as well. Mm-hmm. But as good times have been had by all, and it's normally well attended.
I should say that admission for all the regular season concerts is just $5 at the door. No outside food or beverages are permitted. A cash bar opens at 5:30 p.m. with music is going to be from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. And that Taylor Conservatory is at 22314 Northline Road. Northline Road. Is that near Telegraph or
it's
Allen?
It's,
or
it's real. It's in between Telegraph and Allen.
Okay. All right. Yep. Yeah. So that's the Taylor Music and Art in the Gardens. That'll be continuing all the way through Wednesdays, all the way through August 20th.
Pardee and Northline Road is the best.
Pardee. Yeah. Pardee Hardy. Yes. No, Pardee Smart, actually. Okay. And then Southgate, Heritage Days are this weekend. And that's talked about in the Times Herald here, I see, on page 4A. You ever gone to that one, John?
Yes, I have.
It goes everywhere, folks.
Lots of good music and activities, festivities for the kids as well. And
it's their 40th anniversary, and it's it starts tonight at the Municipal Complex at Dix Toledo Road and Riome Parkway. I don't know where that is. I used to live downriver. But anyway.
It's right where the police headquarters, and you can't miss it, right in the middle of that block.
Just ask for the police in Southgate. Okay, you'll find it.
Just don't make a right turn on Dix Toledo from Eureka. Don't do that.
All righty. So they've got parades, different times different events, live music. Phil's says both nights, Friday and Saturday. I don't recognize the artist, but usually they play oldie songs, rock and roll, pop songs from the 80s, 90s, whatever, 70s sometimes. And so that's fun to do. Fireworks close the day Saturday night at dusk. So there you go. So it's not Sunday. Let me see. Not Sunday. It's Friday and Saturday.
Friday and Saturday.
All righty. And then another music thing. And this is on page 8B, apparently, here of the Times Herald. A big ad from Windsor. Yes, our friends in Windsor, Ontario, Canada. Summerfest, world's finest shows, a midway, carnival, and tall ships. Not just short ships, but tall ships. And different events. It's going to be all kinds of events are happening over in Windsor from June 19th all the way through June 27th. And even a couple things, one thing on July 1st, I think it's probably the International Fireworks Festival or whatever, something like that. So it's not...
Freedom Festival.
Yeah, Freedom Fest. It's not every single day. You need to look at the schedule. But next weekend, 19th, 20th, that's the Midway. And then the Midway is also open on the 30th and July 1st. And it starts at different times, 3 p.m. on one day, noon on another. So you really need to look at this page 8A from the Times Herald, or actually go to windsor.com. Oh, it's summerfestwindsor.org. Mm-hmm. Summerfestwindsor.org. The tall ships are just going to be at Dieppe Park. That's right on the Detroit River there, June 20th, 21st, and 22nd. And there's also sailaways aboard the tall ship Liana's Ransom daily at 10, noon, 2, 4, 7. It's $40 a person. But some people, you know, these are old sailing ships with big masts, big sails, you know, and you'll feel like a pirate or something, you know. And they give you some food, too. Who knows? You can do a deck tour alone aboard the tall ship Peacemaker every day for just $5 a person. They give you a tour. Wow. There's musicians in concert on Dieppe Park near the tall ships on June 22nd. And then Buskers on the Midway is going to be at Festival Park on different days. A puppet tamer. Hmm. Those puppets. Got to tame those. God. Crack the whip. Keep them in their place. Cobbler J. That's my name. Somebody's going to be cobbling. And then Clairol the Clown. Clairol, not Clara. Clairol, and more. So Buskers on the Midway, imagine. 38th Annual International Tugboat Race and Shore Party. I didn't know there was a tugboat race.
I didn't either.
I've heard of the big rooster tail type powerboat races.
Yep.
38th annual. Where have I been for the last 38 years? You know, and John, you haven't. You go to all these things.
I haven't been to that.
No. Well, it's fun in Canada too, folks. It's not that much time to cross over and come back. And you better keep a lot of identity cards with you, though.
I've got to renew my enhanced license to get over there.
Yes, that's a nice thing to have, an enhanced license. Anytime you go to get your license renewed, you can get that. Maybe you can get it anytime. I don't know. But be sure to ask about that. Carrying a passport is not a bad idea. I'm always in favor of passports. And also, there's a Border City Classic event, World Qualifier for Hobie Fishing on June 28th. What is Hobie Fishing?
That's a good one. I don't
okay,
know that
Okay, we
one.
Didn't look nope. that one up, and John doesn't know, so it's a Canadian thing, maybe.
Yeah.
But summerfestwindsor.org. What else? There was something else. Of course, here in Dearborn, hey, it's not chopped liver. Okay. Dearborn, I'm looking at which paper is in here. Probably Press and Guide from Wednesday. I saw the ad. It's for it. Well, they have, and we did talk about this last week, so go and listen to that episode. Of course, in Dearborn, we have the Jazz on the Avenue, and we have the Friday Nights at the Park, which is near Bryant Library. And they're, I think the Jazz on the Avenue is starting next week. And I have not stumbled on that ad here. Isn't that amazing? It's in the city newsletter. Do they? No, that talks about a couple of other things. Okay. But I thought it was also good to mention, as soon as I find the ad somewhere, that here it is. It's in the Times Herald. Boy, the Times Herald is getting all the good ads about these events. So they're one up on the Press and Guide so far. Jazz on the Avenue starts not till July. I was right away out there. July 9th, Wednesday evenings. And that's in brought to you by the East Dearborn Downtown Development Authority. Rain or shine, oh my gosh, bring your umbrella. But that's at City Hall Park, Michigan Avenue, corner of Schaefer, where the current old City Hall are. And that will be Wednesday evenings from 7 to 9, starting July 9th, going on through August 13th. July 9th is Alexander Zonchek, always a favorite sort
guy.
Of smooth jazz. Is it clarinet or something he plays?
Flute.
Flute, there you go. Very smooth jazz. And a great selection there, and that's all free. Some of these, maybe even the conservatory down in Taylor, do you have to bring your own chairs? Or do they have chairs?
Yeah, bring your own chairs for
okay,
that as well.
Okay, so remember to bring your chairs.
Yep.
Okay, or your blankets or something, or pillows. The Friday Nights in the Park, it's not, well, it is tonight. Tonight is the Beat Club, but then they're going to skip next week on the 20th, and then they come back on June 27th. So I'm not sure what's happening on the 20th, other than the fact that we're going to be at Dearborn Farmers and Artists Market. We'll talk about that in a second. But tonight, the Beat Club, which is the Beatles tribute band, which has already performed somewhere. Somebody was telling me about it somewhere else around town here. And, you know, tribute bands often sound better or more authentic than the original band still could play it. So that's free tonight. Bryant Library's Muirhead Plaza is just that area, paved area between the library and Buddy's Pizza. And so Friday Nights in the Park. And then food truck rallies will start June 27th in that same area. All rallies are in parking lot B, which is the Dearborn Farmers and Artists Market area, across the alley from the concerts. So very close by. That's June 27th to July 25th. And then they skip a month, and they're back for the last food truck rally on August 22nd. Friday nights, 5 to 9 p.m., but not starting until June 27th, going to July 25th, and then they jump, and then the last rally will be on August 22nd. And we're talking about at least a half dozen or more different types of specialty gourmet food from these food trucks. Unfortunately, they won't be there next Friday when we're going to be there. So, John, we're going to get there when?
We are going to get there...
The station is going to be there
all
set up, we hope.
11:30?
No, 10
no,
o'clock.
Eight o'clock.
Yeah, I'm going to get there earlier with the stuff. Of course, the Dearborn Farmers and Artisans Market is now doing every Friday, of course, weather permitting. Although even when it's raining, the vendors usually come in, as long as it's not big-time thunderstorm. Mm-hmm. And we're happy to be the special guest of Henry Ford Community College in their tent area, right next to the Bryant Library. And so we're going to be set up and broadcasting live back here on and interrupting, I'm sorry to say, the big band show of Joe Sullivan from 10 o'clock to 1 o'clock. Next week, because of the live broadcast, we're not going to have Democracy Now!, but you can listen to it anytime on the web at democracynow.org. We're happy to broadcast it on our station, though, too, for those that don't have the internet connection. But we'll be calling in a couple times every hour with interviews from special guests that are out there and people from the college, of course, and other vendors and people from the Chamber of Commerce. And then John and I from 1 to 2 o'clock.
We get to be out there.
Fun in the sun.
Hanging out in the sun.
Live broadcasting, talking, back to the studio here, and it goes over the air live, and or you can listen to the podcast. So that's always fun to be out there in the sun.
We don't want to be jinxing the sun too much because I remember last year.
Yeah, we had to move the journal location from the parking lot inside the Chamber of Commerce because a huge, terrible thunderstorm. We were given 20 minutes notice before the journal, and so we had to bring all our broadcast equipment. And of course, we thank the Chamber of Commerce for this, allowing us to sit in their break room. Nobody could get coffee while we were broadcasting, and do the show through their phone connection in their building. But that was really the exception, folks. Even if it's just sprinkling or whatever, we will be there. There's a tent over us. We have umbrellas too, and love to meet you. John and I would love to meet you. I will, because part of the station, and we'll be answering questions and doing individual interviews, as I said, a couple times an hour between 10 and 1 o'clock. And then John and I, and maybe special guests, will be here on the journal from 1 to 2 o'clock. Okay, so come on by and meet us. I know the college has got some free things to give away, and we've got a few things like our new program schedule for this month and some new stuff from WHFR. And love to see you. Love to see you next week, Friday, June 20th. We're only going to be out there the 20th that we know now. Maybe we'll go back there a while later. We're, of course, going to be live for 3 days, 10 hours a day from our WHFR tent at Dearborn Homecoming. August 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. So love to see you sometime in there. And yes, on August 1st, John and I will be doing, weather permitting and voices permitting, and usually sometimes it gets pretty hot and parched out there. But 1 to 2 o'clock on August 1st, we'll be doing a live version again. Well, it's always live, right? But live outdoor version from Dearborn Homecoming of the new WHFR Journal. So a lot of things happening, and again, there's so many dates there. You'll need to look things up on one website or the other in order to find out what's happening. Let's move back to, City of Dearborn Monthly Newsletter just came out through the internet. I think everybody will get a printed copy in the mail in a few days, or by next week at least. And I think you have that, John. Flag Day ceremony.
Oh, I have the, flag. Okay, you got that. Okay. Yeah, the Flag Day ceremony on tomorrow, Saturday, June 14th. The public's invited to attend the City of Dearborn's annual Flag Day ceremony at 7 p.m. at Ford Field Park on Cherry Hill, west of Brady. The ceremony is held in conjunction with the Dearborn Allied War Veterans Council.
What time?
And it's 7 p.m.
7 p.m. starts. Yep. Okay, and that's because one of the elements of the Flag Day ceremony is the burning of American flags. Now, it's not the burning of good American flags, but flags that are tattered and torn. It's a ceremony, sort of a sacred burning, if you will, and the fire department takes care of it. You should not do this at your own home. Outdoor fires, I think, are discouraged in Dearborn, if not against the law. So you can bring them by 6:30, apparently, is what the date says, to give to the fire department. And then
right.
The ceremony starts at 7, and I don't know when they light the fire. But
bring your tattered flags and flags that are no longer fit for public display. and the Dearborn Fire Department will be on hand to ensure a safe burning environment. You know.
The other big thing that I saw there, and the monthly newsletter is good. It does talk about the new ordinance about keeping your grass cut and the consequences if you don't. They're made a little more strict anyway. But I thought it was good to mention that, since I did mention Dearborn Homecoming, who is going to be the main artist, the big-time main stage free entertainment on Saturday night, August 2nd at Dearborn's Ford Field? It's going to be, ta-da, Kelly Pickler. Kelly Pickler. You may remember her name from American Idol a few years ago. She was a contestant there. She was a contestant also last year on Dancing with the Stars. And she's got four albums, country music, that she's released now. And she's gotten numerous awards from the American Country Music Association, or whatever the name of it is. And so she's going to be out there performing on the main stage at 8 p.m. Saturday night, August 2nd. Get your blankets ready to spread out early on the day that Saturday on the field.
Okay.
Yes. And might as well mention this too. All this entertainment news today. Wow, it's like entertainment today. Concert of Colors. Yes, we do have the schedule now. Sent from the Arab American Museum, who have some people coordinating that. Remember, it was the Access Group that actually began this concert 22 years ago. Okay, and it continues in several different venues in Detroit and different days. And we have the full schedule here. You can go to probably concertofcolors.com. I think their website is together now. It must be, because we have this email that was sent from them. Gee, I don't actually see anything about the website here, so maybe it's not up and running yet. But there will be information forthcoming. And the time that we're most concerned about is the Saturday and Sunday, June 12th and 13th. That's when we will be down there. WHFR will have a table in the lobby. Again, come and meet us, talk to us, tell us about your favorite WHFR DJ. We might even meet some of your favorite WHFR staff persons down there. It's a fun event, all free entertainment on three stages, one outdoors, the one big orchestra hall indoor venue, and the equally classy but more dance floor-like, a little bit less formal, second stage indoors, which is normally called the Music Box, and it's renamed for this event the Diversity Stage. And we'll be broadcasting live from the Diversity Stage all the performances from 2 p.m. to about 10:30 p.m. Saturday and Sunday, July 12th and 13th. We're looking forward to that again. We've done this before. We should know how to do it again, and we'll be hosting that and giving breaks during break periods between the artists. We'll be doing interviews and making comments about what's happening down there. So by all means, put that on your calendar. July 12th and 13th is when WHFR is going to be broadcasting from and at, physically, the Max M. Fisher Music Center, 3711 Woodward. Yes, that's where the Detroit Symphony performs in that complex. And I'll give you an idea of great artists. Obviously, on the main stage, which is sponsored by Meijer, the grocery department store people. So it's called the Meijer Main Stage, also known as Orchestra Hall. That evening, the big performance is, of course, the 7th Annual Don Was Detroit All-Star Review. And they're going to give a special tribute this time to Bob Seger's Live Bullet album. Okay? So they've got all these artists doing tracks, local artists doing tracks from the Bob Seger Live Bullet album, and he's not listed as performing, but maybe he'll show up. Wouldn't that be cool? I'm sure he will. Okay. So a lot of great local artists all doing things from Bob Seger's Live Bullet album. And I think it's some big anniversary of that this year, too, which is why they picked it. 30th, maybe?
I'm not even sure.
I'm not sure. I wanted to mention that also on the Meijer main stage on Sunday, unbelievable. Detroit Symphony at 3:30 p.m. with Thornetta Davis and special guest conductor John McLaughlin Williams. Is that John Williams, the soundtrack movie score writer? Anyway, that's going to be great. So Thornetta Davis, who's been getting into jazz and always been a blues diva. I know she's doing a jazz concert somewhere in the next couple of weeks, in fact. But after they're done, a wild and crazy swing country folk rock group called Dan Hicks and His Hot Licks. I bought his albums back in the 60s. I swear I did. Wild and crazy guy, and he's still around. I can't believe it. Wow. He's still alive. And so am I, last time I checked. And that's going to be so much fun. I mean, so much fun. And other friends of ours, October Babies, are going to be down there again, and many other local artists that we just really love and think very highly of. Oh, Sheila Landis and Rick Madel, Samba Jazz. They were at one of our benefit concerts here in Dearborn at Andiamo's a couple of years ago. Landis. So a lot of great people. And guess what? It's all free. And there's outdoor stage, too, just south of the Maxim Fisher Center. So you got to get down there with friends and family, all ages, all free stuff. Yes, there's some food. There are some vendors selling sometimes jewelry or clothing or whatever, too, on the streets just south of Orchestra Hall. But it's a great event and a great variety, great diversity, dare I say, of local music and also international music. Just what you'll find here at WHFR.FM, by golly. Okay, only 2 minutes before we have to conclude the journal. Joanne Korczynska is in the house, as they say. Not Elvis, but Joanne is here to start Highway 61 Blues in just a few moments. This is WHFR Dearborn, by the way.
I just want to give a plug here for the Super Saturday next Saturday, June 21st. HFC will host on the main campus in Dearborn. It events we offer new, returning, and current students convenient hours, which are 8 to 4:30 on Saturday, to enroll in the college.
Yeah, fall semester.
Fall semester.
Yeah, we'll have more information about that throughout the week, and we'll mention it certainly next Friday when we're, I think there'll be some enrollment specialists from the college out at the farmer's market with us.
Oh, is that
and
right?
Okay. Just a heads up also, we had that great interview with the director of the play Fools. It's going to be beginning next Thursday, June 19th, and continuing through June 29th, each weekend, Thursday through Sunday, here at Henry Ford Community College. This is a comic fable by Neil Simon, the great comedy writer, movies, Broadway. The play is called Fools. You probably don't know about it or have heard of it before, but it's going to be great fun. Listen to the journal show from last week on the podcast if you want to hear the interview with Jerry Jablonski, the director, and one of the actors from the play. So it's going to start next Thursday, Friday, Saturday at 8 p.m. in the Adrae Auditorium, the Henry Ford College Fine Arts Center here, 5101 Evergreen Road, main campus here in Dearborn. Also, Sunday performances for that next weekend and the weekend after at 2 p.m. only. So ticket price is $10 admission, $8 students, seniors, staff. Bring your IDs if you want the big-time discount there. Thank you for listening to the new WHFR Journal. I'm going to start Highway 61 right now. So on to Joanne and the best in blues.